This question, I was reading all of these stories, and it seemed like every media outlet today has a sob story about somebody who can't book a drive test, like a in-car driving test, until next year. And it's not that I'm unsympathetic. There's one 25-year-old guy. He's quoted everywhere, it would seem, today. It's like every media organization just went to this guy and said, hey, tell us your sob story. His name's TJ Beckham. And he's tried to book a driving test in Ontario so many times, he says he's memorized his 15-digit license number.
That's the real deal. I have no idea. I don't even know what the first digit is.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I don't even know where my license is, for that matter. That's probably not a good thing. The 25-year-old said he checked again yesterday, and the earliest slot available is January 2022. Now, the province, of course, has resumed in-car driving tests as of middle of June, but the backlog to book a road test, according to the Ministry of Transportation, 421,827 road tests have been canceled since March 2020. So there's almost half a million people.
Yes.
Who need to fix this and fix this fast and get their test done. They're going to hire, the province announced that they were going to hire 84 temporary driver examiners for their drive test centers. They filled 35 of those positions so far. They also announced that recently that they're going to hire 167 additional drive examiners. And recruitment is underway with the goal to have everybody on board by September. But let me just ask the everyman question here. Because the pandemic has been one of those things, and we've heard it in all sorts of different industries, where we're supposed to be doing a rethink of how we did things, right? Some things we could have been doing it that way. You know, why couldn't restaurants have had booze sales? Made a lot of sense. Now we're doing it, right? There's an example for you.
Why can't court sessions happen over Zoom?
Why not, right? So especially if it's something very basic, why get everybody in person? What about drive tests? Let me ask this honest question. Do they need to be done in car, in person? Or do we not have, and the technology exists, I looked this up, do we not have simulators where people could go day or night, you know, maybe running by a private company, you could have them 24-hour operation, that would give somebody an automatic pass or fail, and then if you failed, you'd have to come back a few months later, try the simulator all over again, where you're not relying on, and this was the case when I was young, so let me just address the elephant in the room. You know, if you drive up to Caledon, the instructors there, they're not as stringent as the instructor in Mississauga, the tester in Mississauga. And then everybody, of course, would book in Caledon or go out to Oshawa. I think you take the human factor out of it completely and look for a better, more efficient, smarter way to do this. I'm not saying it's going to plow through the 500,000 people right now that are in this logjam. But it doesn't make much sense to me that this is one of the things we'd sit there and go, well, the old way was working, so we'll just continue with that.
Yeah, you know, I thought, like, I found this very thought-provoking because my first instinct is to say, no, you need a human there. You need to be on the real road. But then I started thinking about all the other possible scenarios that a driving simulator could throw at a would-be driver. You know, there, because when they go, when you go out and do your road test, there might not be a pedestrian waiting to cross. There might not be a lot of parallel parking opportunities or on the other side of the road or bad weather, whatever. But yeah, this simulator could throw so many more things at you. And like you said, if you put it in the hands of a private company, because we know the government is never going to pay their employees to come in for evening and weekend shifts to get rid of a backlog, COVID-19 vaccinations. You could not only clear a backlog like this, but just make it a more efficient system altogether. I think it's certainly a conversation worth having. I also mentioned in our earlier meeting, when you think about all of the immigrants that come to this country with full driver's licenses from other countries that just simply aren't recognized in Ontario, have them go through a simulator or have some sort of process to more easily facilitate people who have years of driving experience, often on roads that are a lot more challenging than Toronto's roads, and get them streamlined. Like it is crazy to me that people are waiting several months to have a driving test booked. Like this is people's livelihoods, getting to work, sometimes taking depending where you live in the GTA, you're sometimes taking multiple buses and then a subway and then walking. Sometimes depending on the hours that you work, it does make more sense to drive if you are able to, or if you're caring for an elderly loved one or a whole range of reasons. But it's a long time for people to be waiting, and I don't think they should be.
We've got a lot of calls coming in at 416-870-1010, 872-1010. One person writing in, if you think driving is bad now, wait till you go this way. I don't know. How would you know? Maybe the problem is the testing. And if you think for yourself to yourself that a backlog of 500,000 drive tests isn't going to mean that people are going to slip through the cracks just because people are rushing it and wanting to get on to the next person, you're kidding yourself. I think you let the computers do it. You know, the world of aviation, there's a lot of simulation there where pilots do train and test on simulators. I just don't think it's the worst idea in the world. It might not work, but I'd love to hear. This is the kind of pilot project I could get behind.
And you know, speaking of pilot projects, somebody else texted in, also, would you let pilots just train on flight simulator and still get on a plane? And it reminds me of that Tom Hanks movie about the Miracle on the Hudson. I don't remember if that's what the movie was called.
Sully Sullenberger.
I don't know if you've seen it. Yeah, and how they were putting him through the simulator and putting people through the simulator of what actually happened that day and how they kept failing and failing and failing. Sometimes real life can't prepare you for the potential things that could happen, and simulators can prepare you for the things that might just happen once in a blue moon.
Let's bring in Rob. Rob, you're a driving instructor. I'm sure you hate this conversation.
Yeah, there's just those few things they mentioned wouldn't really work in practical purposes. Like, for example, doing road tests just by simulation. Like that texter just talked about, even pilots who get trained on simulators still ultimately have to do the in-plane test because there's just so many variables that come up in everyday life that a simulator can't simulate. You need that. You need that in-car test. It just would not work. They're great.
Yeah, but the converse to that is you have a whole bunch of things on one road test that may never come up just because of circumstance.
I wouldn't necessarily say a whole bunch of things. I mean, you do a few required parking maneuvers, and yeah, I'll give you that. I mean, we probably rarely park on a hill, which is on the test. Nobody really does 3-point turns. Everybody just turns around in driveways, right? So you're right. Mm-hmm. There are some things, even parallel parking, Ryan.
Right.
If you don't live downtown, when's the last time you parallel park? But that's on the test, right?
Yeah, and that's exactly my point. You can factor in all of these things in a simulator. Just add them all in. You know, you can groom this test for whatever you want it to be. But the age-old, you know, oh, we can go here because it's a lot easier than over there. Well, that never made any sense to me. Chris, you don't like simulators at all.
Well, I just think it's just kind of it's a video game. You know, I can go and hit golf balls in a simulator and nobody cares. There's no consequence. There's no nerves if you're in a simulator. There's no feeling of what it's like to actually be on the road. There isn't any of that stuff, and you have to have that in order to drive. If there's no consequence to anything you do, then how can it be a legitimate test?
The word pass and the word fail, that is the consequence. It's a test. The second you call it a test, it has consequence to it.
Well, yeah, I get that, but you have to have a human element to it. Like, there has to be something more than, you know, if you're driving in a simulator and you run into a car or you hit something, there's no consequence because...
Yeah, you fail.
Don't really...
Yeah, and God forbid that happens in real life instead of simulated life.
I know, but then you're going to say, well, okay, fine. So they have a sim, and now you can put them on the road and see what really happens. They don't... You have to have some... It's more than just pass-fail.
All right, we're going to come... You know what? We're going to come back. Thank you, Chris. We're going to come back. This is a hot one this afternoon at 416-872-1010. If you've got a line, stay on it. We're going to continue to take your feedback. Why are so many of you against technology? It has aided you in every other part of your life. And this one, this is the hill you're going to die on? And people treat me like I'm crazy. Oh, you can't suggest we do the test on computers. You're driving a freaking computer. Kelly?
Hi.
Hey, Kelly.
So I've been thinking about it again since I've been on hold. And here's what I think should happen. This is my opinion. They should, private businesses, such as car instruction places, like the ones that teach you how to drive, should receive permission to invest in simulation or stimulators. Well, no, not stimulation, that's not the word.
Well, that'd be a whole different thing.
Stimulate the young minds.
Or that.
They should be doing that without the technology.
Simulators. In order to, so when kids or whoever's learning how to drive, they are learning to drive on simulation and in-car, both. So that's how they're learning to drive. Then, over time, probably not very much time, they will implement the simulators in order to do the driving testing. But I don't think the government will be too quick to jump on that. I think it'll take a little bit of... like something happening first.
Yeah, listen, I like your idea. Do sort of a gradual, streamlined, into the system kind of approach. I didn't say we have to rip the Band-Aid off and just put simulators everywhere. It's not a bad balanced approach that Kelly comes up with.
Yeah, and that in that way, the drive test community and the drive teaching community can be a part of it and can actually give feedback on, is this working? Because you're doing the mix of the simulators and the actual real life driving. Do you find that your students are learning from the simulators? I think that's cool.
It's not bad, right? Matthew, you agree. You like the idea of simulators, but...
Well, but you're a bit crazy, Ryan. But I think you probably end up paying a little higher insurance cost if you got your if you passed on a simulator rather than in under real world conditions.
Why?
Because I'm sure the insurance would assume that the validity of your certification would be less than somebody that actually did it in the real world, because a simulator is not necessarily as good as a real world, and you'd have to have the exact conditions. So you couldn't make the argument that we can simulate more difficult conditions. Well, then you'd have apples and oranges comparison.
First of all, one question. I got 2 points. Let me ask you a question first. How old are you?
I'm in my 50s.
Okay. I don't know what it was like. I'm going to guess it was the same. Do you remember when you were getting your license? And do you remember when, you know, people would say, hey, if you go over to the other jurisdiction, the test is actually easier. They've got easier instructors. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that. All I remember is driving home with my father from passing my test and then asking him to pull over so I could drive, and then seeing the absolute shock in his face when he realized that I really intended to drive his car.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Because my other point was, and thank you for that, my other point, Tamara, is what simulators provide that humans can't is consistency. You can't tell me that one driving instructor that's doing the test is the exact same as the other. They might have the same criteria in front of them, but some may look one way, some may look the other. You also have location. Right. If you're doing it in a particular neighborhood, it may not have hills. It might not have places to parallel park. With a computer, you streamline all of that.
And I'll point out that the system is already with apples and oranges. When I moved to Toronto from Regina, Saskatchewan 15 years ago, I came with me a Saskatchewan driver's license that I'd had since I was 16 years old, a full Saskatchewan driver's license. Driving on the ring road in Regina, Saskatchewan, which is two lanes and not ever congested, is very different from driving on the 401. But I didn't have to go through any further tests. And my insurance provider in Ontario was not concerned with the fact that most of my driving experience, all of it until that point, had been in a much less populated, much less, you know, traffic area.
And the more I talk about this, and people who are, you know, in who grew up in Ontario in the 80s and 90s know exactly what I'm talking about. We were always told, oh, you know, you go out to Bolton. You know, it's a little different than Mississauga. It'll be a lot
easier. Different.
You get in there, you get out of there. The instructors are a little softer. The computer, the more I talk about this, the more I know this is a good idea. I've gone from thinking
I
might
be crazy.
Take it
to the den or take it to the tank. You like Shark Tank, right?
You really should be, yeah. You really should be presenting this to the folks somewhere, at least in government. I know they listen. So maybe they're spitballing this idea as we speak. Dan, what do you think about it?
Ryan, I think the simulator is a great idea. Not only are a lot of these new drivers, never mind that. I've had my license for 30 years. I have to upgrade my license. I've been waiting 4 months to go get an AR license, which is a new license rule for us landscapers. And it's going to be 4 months, if not longer, to get it. I've already been postponed 3 times. Mm. And we've already gone through all this. Like, a simulator would be great. Set them up in the malls, even, that we can take them there and get it over and done
Dan,
with.
Dan, like,
you
make
drop
this idea
in a quarter, hop in the simulator.
I'm going to make this idea even better, though. As you speak, I'm thinking, what about seniors where you're kind of on the fence?
Yes, just thinking that.
Do we take their license away? Okay, well, here's an easy way to do it. Go take the simulator test. You pass, you keep your license. You fail, sorry, you know, you got to give it back.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Like I said, I'd like to know the number of how many people are actually in the same boat as I am that are just trying to upgrade their license or something. And, you know, and it's holding back these young people. Like Tamara said there, if they're food and butter on the table, like, it's for them to get back and forth to work. And guys like us who already have our licenses, who is just mainly a precaution, are holding up the whole system for them.
Yeah, and that shouldn't be that way. And good luck with it. I hope you do well on your test. I'm going to squeeze Adam in. Adam?
Hey, Ryan, how's it going?
Good, man.
So, my buddy Smalls, he's 25. He's never touched a manual transmission. The other day, I'm like, hey, you want to learn transmission? He's like, yeah. So, I took him out to the parking lot. I taught him how to upshift, downshift, down gear, everything in the transmission. And it's about feeling the engine, okay, mm-hmm. on the clutch. Within 20 minutes, because he was paying attention, we went on Bayview, and he was in fifth gear.
Wow.
Right?
On Bayview?
And he loved it. He was like, wow, I never knew cars were like this. I was like, yeah, this is the way cars are supposed to be.
How north of the city are you, though, to be on Bayview Avenue in fifth gear? That's pretty fast.
Bayview and Stovall Road.
Okay, so you're north of Toronto. I'm like thinking about Toronto traffic and Toronto speed limits there. Yeah.
You know, Adam brings that up. You know, you could probably teach both if there was, you know, if you were inclined. There's so many possibilities and opportunities here.
Yes.
What about motorcycle simulation? You know, and no offense.
Somebody said that on the text board.
They do a great test up at Humber and a great course up at Humber, but then you slide into a simulator, you get your motorcycle license. What about truck drivers? They had all sorts of problems in that world. Man, I am solving problems here today, Tamara.
Take it to the tank.
It feels good.